I told you a few weeks ago I had said something to my wife in between worship and everybody having a seat in her ear, and I was frustrated with one of my sons, and I spoke that in her ear, and a friend of ours from Missouri texted her and said, I'm on live stream, and I just heard what Pastor Ken said. So be careful what you say on live stream when your microphone is on, right? So God is good. You know, and that isn't that just wonderful, you know, just in this whole journey of being authentic and transparent. And how many of you were here on Sunday? So a bunch of you. So everybody that wasn't, we're going to have a special class for you after. No, but I had commented that I didn't really want to, you know, I was rather be somewhere else on Sunday. And, you know, it started off that way. It got better through the day, but I shared it at every service. And a lot of people think when I say things like that, you know, that, you know, because sometimes you just would rather be somewhere else. And it worked out pretty well for feeling like that initially. But sometimes people think I'm fragile because I say things like that. Right. I'm not. I'm just being honest about how I feel. Because we all deal with those feelings. So I want you to know when you feel like that, God can still show up. God can still do something amazing. Because we just sang tonight, all things are possible. And nothing is impossible with Him. So I think it's just time in church that we can remove the mask and just be real about stuff. I don't mean that we need to demean the gospel or make it coarse or anything like that. I just mean that we ought to be able to just be us because God loves us. Amen. And we don't need to pretend anything. So, and I understand also there's walking by faith too. So there's an element of there. But I like the authenticity that God is allowing me and that you allow me as well. So I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Tonight we're going to just talk about, in our remaining moments here, we've got about a half an hour start to finish here. I want to talk about the power of Holy Communion. The power of Holy Communion. I believe that if we take communion in the understanding in which it represents and what it is all about, that literally it could change our lives. Literally, it could revolutionize the way we think about our covenant, our relationship, if you will, with our Heavenly Father. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 30, this is where Paul is administering communion, the Lord's Supper, if you will, to the Corinthians. But in verse 27, he says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, a lot of times we have heard in church, if you grew up, you know, anytime, anywhere near the denominational affiliation that I did, that what that meant was if you take communion and you've got sin in your heart or in your life, that you're going to be in big trouble. Not really realizing from a practical, logical standpoint, if you've got sin in your life, you're already in trouble. You're already in trouble, right? From a natural perspective anyway, we understand that we're forgiven. But what the communion, what that sort of vein of teaching was all about was to limit or reduce the amount of people that actually would partake of communion, which is really a satanic ideal, because if you remember Jesus, he sat at the table with 12, one of them was a traitor, and Jesus himself gave communion to Judas. So this whole idea of just a few special folk taking communion started with the unregenerated ideas of church people and not God. Because the best way to get saved, the best way to get healed, the best way to be delivered of a demon or an addiction is to take communion. This is not something you do when you got it all together. This is for those of us that need help. And notice that what's unworthy is an adverb speaking of the manner in which we take. It is an unworthy manner, not an unworthy person. Hello? So it was taken out of context all those years making us believe that we've got to, you know, be sinless in order to take this. And of course, if you're in Christ, you're already forgiven. So an unworthy manner, not an unworthy person. So he goes on, he says, if you do that in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. He goes on, I'll bring some more clarity as we go. So, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, again, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So let me just say something before I say something else. How about that? So the Corinthians were weak and sick and dying prematurely for one reason. Not reasons. And I would submit to you, because truth is parallel, and God's no respecter of persons, and if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, then I would say that there's one reason, according to Scripture, that people today are weak physically, emotionally, spiritually, are sick in all those ways, and are dying prematurely. And he gives us the reason. For this reason, verse 30, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That reason is, back up to verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body. That's it. There's nothing new under the sun. That's the reason people are sick. It's not that you don't work out enough. It's not that you eat too much bacon. It's not about you so much. It's about us not discerning the Lord's body. If we would discern the Lord's body, then a lot of those other things, and I'm not against exercise, even though it may look it, or eating right, even though it may look that too, I actually hold both of those in high esteem. But it talks about the person that drinks in the wrong way, in the wrong manner, in an unworthy manner. It means that we partake of the juice and of the cup and the bread, which represents the body, in a way that we just look at it like a religious thing that we do. Well, it's just the first Sunday of the month, so we take communion, and then we go eat fried chicken. Or because it's the third Wednesday of the month, and that's why we have never done it on a point on the calendar, because I never want it to be just this religious gyration. If I did anything, and I've kicked this around a bit, we'd do it every single Wednesday night or maybe every Sunday morning, because it's that powerful if we truly take it with the right heart, with the right focus. And when I mean heart, I don't mean sinlessness. I mean to understand the gravity and the power and the reality, the tangibility, if you will, of what we're doing tonight. It's not magic. It's a representation. The Bible says, Jesus said, as often as you do this in memory or in remembrance. So it's not really the body, and it's not really the blood. It's a cracker. It's grape juice. You could do it at home with iced tea and a piece of light bread. It doesn't matter. It represents something. And I encourage you, do this at home. We take communion a lot at home. I take communion a lot by myself, you know, to just bring some sanity back, some perspective back to my life. And I think it's good to do. So let me say this now, if this is what I'm saying to you is true, and it is because the Bible says it, that if we discern the Lord's body properly, we will walk in His health, we will walk in wholeness, we will not be sick and weak and dead prematurely. That's what He said, not me. And so they, what he was addressing here is they really had no idea what they were doing. They were showing up, if you read the context of that chapter, they were eating to the full, they were getting drunk on the wine. You know, I mean, we don't do real wine for that very reason. They afraid the pastor would drink too much. I remember going to communion with the Catholics when I was in Somalia, and I didn't know it was a Catholic service. I just knew I was going to church. So I jumped in there in this little area, and they were the guy was preaching something, and then at the end, he gets up, and I kind of realized I was in the wrong place, but I wasn't going to walk out, so everybody goes up front, so I go up with him, and then everybody takes the cracker, and then he hands down this chalice, if you will, and everybody's sipping out of the same thing, and it's real wine, and I'm like, hey, gang, give me that. But what was funny is it went all down the line, right? And it was still like 2/3 full. And then the priest gets it back, and then he downs all of it. It's like, that's the job I need right there. So let's quickly talk about how we discern the blood. The blood is for forgiveness. That's what the blood represents. And Paul's epistles, throughout his writing, he makes that very clear on a number of occasions. I want to share with you tonight Colossians 1:14. It says, in whom, in Christ, meaning, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So through his blood, you are forgiven. And it's faith in that blood, in that finished work, that we are forgiven. So it's not you not making mistakes. It's the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Because the Son of God paid the penalty for your sins with his spotless blood, you can go scot-free when you put your trust in him. I just added a little Pastor Ken version there at the end. The bottom line is that we have been set free from that sin by the blood of Jesus. And so when we partake, we rightly discern that sacrifice for us, and we recognize every time we do it, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how much chaos is happening in the house, we recognize that in this moment, I'm connecting my heart and my mind, which is very important if you were here last Sunday, to think in terms of God's word. I'm connecting my mind, I'm renewing my mind, if you will, to that promise and that truth that I am forgiven based on him, not based on me. And when you take communion in that respect, man, you walk away from there fully realizing what was done on your behalf by Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing. The old hymn says, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man, some of those old hymns are powerful, aren't they? I want to talk about now the body and discerning the body of Jesus. And it's the type of the body is the bread, and the bread is for healing. Say this with me. Say, the bread is for healing. I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 7, and you'll see this on the overhead, I believe, verses 26 through 28. And this is the story of the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter, the Bible says in the King James, was grievously vexed with a devil. This is what the Bible says in verse 26. It says, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat the crumbs from the children. And that right there, I'm telling you, if you know the story, it made him stop in his tracks. It made him stop in his tracks. I love that story because she refused to be refused. She denied to be denied. She would not quit because she knew there was something in Jesus for her. And you know, sometimes it feels like that for us. It feels like he's walking right by us. It feels like he's trying to give us the slip. But I'm telling you, if you just make up your mind not to believe that deception, because now, this side of the cross, he is not doing that to us. See, in this point, he hadn't died yet. She wasn't even part of this promise. The little children he was referring to were the Jews. She was the little dog he referred to being a Gentile. That's what we are. You know, being outside the covenant. There was no promise for them at that time. But yet, do you know that every time Jesus marveled at the faith of somebody in the New Testament, they were all Gentiles? Every last one of them. Because they knew they needed help. That's why he likes us so much. Because we ain't trying to pretend and fake up in here. We know we need Jesus. And so the point I'm trying to make here is that he's referring to healing as the children's bread. That is what he's making the analogy of. He's equating what she needed, which was technically deliverance, but I'll show you in a minute that it's the same as healing, yeah. And God refers to it as the same. But he's talking about what she needed, the healing for her daughter, as being the children's bread. And if you've ever had a sick child, you know what I'm talking about. I can remember standing and just rebuking the sickness and commanding the healing. And you know, when you talk like that in a lot of churches, and there are grace churches out there that I listen to the preachers a lot, and I read some of the books, but they take this stance that God is sovereign, so everything that happens to you is his plan for you. Let me tell you something, don't believe that mess, because there's a devil loose. And he'll lie to you about what God wants for you. And you need to know the word of God. And when you know the word of God, you know that Jesus said, speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, because he said it first, that mountain that you're speaking to will be removed. Now, there are times that we don't see the mountains removed all the time, at least on our time frame. But we don't stop believing because of that. We don't stop speaking because of that. And I'm telling you, I've commanded the sickness off my babies. I've commanded. I remember my son, who's now in the Marines, that I was talking to my wife about that Sunday morning. And I remember he was so sick. I don't know. He was 5 or 6 years old, and he had some reaction to something. Dr. Denny, remember him? He was a pediatric oncologist, MD and PhD. He came to our house in Yucaipa, and he said, I've never seen anything like it. The doctors didn't know what to do. And I remember laying in the bed with my little boy, and he looked at me, and he said, Daddy, am I dying? And I said, let me tell you something, son. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let you die. Well, you're not God. No, I'm not. But I'm the favorite son of a God that changed heaven and earth. And he promised me a couple of things. You and your house shall be saved. He told me something in Isaiah 54 that I never forgot. He said, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. He told me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I just stood on those verses, and I said, let me tell you something, son. Your daddy's not going to let you die. And he didn't die. And if I'd have said, well, son, I don't know. Maybe God wants you to go home to teach Daddy a lesson. Maybe Jesus needs another angel in heaven. I mean, how bad do we want to walk in this covenant? Bad enough to learn what Jesus said about it? Bad enough to speak what he spoke about it? To trust him in the midnight hour when you don't feel like trusting nothing? Praying when you don't know how to pray or what to say? Wondering if you're saying the right thing or not. This is what Luke said in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. It says he was full of the Holy Ghost and power and so forth. But here's my point. He called being oppressed of the devil sickness. He healed all those that were oppressed. So whether you're oppressed of the devil or sick by the devil, it's all the devil's doing. You can say, well, I brought this on myself because I smoked for 35 years. Well, just get healed of the smoking. Get delivered. So healing really is this broad subject matter, and Jesus and Paul and the New Testament handles it all the same. So whether if it's a demon you have, if it's an addiction you have, if it's an oppression, if you've got depression, if you have, you know, all these other things, these mental disorders that the enemy tries to convince us that we have, and I'm not saying you don't, so if you're on Prozac, stay on it. There's no condemnation in Jesus. We found that out on Sunday. But I believe that the doctor will tell you, hey, listen, you don't need this anymore. I think God's big enough to do that. So anyway, how do we discern the body? The body, my point here is that the bread represents healing. The body is healing. Well, it's twofold how we discern the body. Number one, the power of the finished work. We need to discern the power of the finished work. And I'm going to take you for this to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Verse 3 says this: He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and we despised and we did not esteem him. That's number 3. Is that right? Is that on the overhead? Is that not on the overhead? Where's Nick? Did that not make it to? I'm going to read this out of my Bible. There we go. Okay. Da-da! I put in my notes 3, but somebody had it right, 4 and 5. So watch this. Surely he has borne. The reason it wasn't up there, right, is I didn't put that one in there, did I? I had 4 and 5, and I'm reading 3. So this was my fault. Nobody in the back. So some of you are thinking, I was going to work that ministry, but there's no way in heck I'm doing that. I'm not getting called out like that. Vivian, you're awesome. Thank you. So watch this. So surely, somebody say surely. He has borne our griefs, which means our pains. Does it mean pains? Gosh, let me just go to the Bible. How about that? It means sicknesses. He has borne our griefs, which means sickness. He has carried our sorrows, which means pain. So sickness and pain. So this isn't some just fluffy thing that's spiritual in nature. This is natural physical sickness and disease. Okay. Yet we esteemed him, past tense, smitten, stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. And what that means is something I taught you on Easter Sunday, that we all thought God was punishing him because he really wanted to punish us. He couldn't wait to get his hands on us because he was so angry at our sin and so disgusted at our sin that he was coming after us with all he's got, and Jesus jumped in the way and took the bullet for us. So we esteemed, we considered, we thought, we believed that God was angry. That's what that verse means. But let me tell you something. We found out, didn't we? God wasn't angry. The manifestation, what happened on the cross was God's love poured out. And the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. So we were esteeming the wrong thing. And then we go on to verse 5, if it's up there. Was that it? Here we go. Now, but he was wounded for our transgressions. It was us that put him there, right? It was our mistakes. It was our sin that put him there. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace, or for our peace, was upon him. If you look that word up, you'll see that it means that God doesn't want to chastise you or chasten you to hurt you, but to teach you and to instruct you. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. So let me tell you something. If you read Isaiah 54 verses 9 and 10, you'd see that there's a covenant of peace now in the finished work. And God even says this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as the waters of Noah shall no longer cover the earth, he said, nor shall I be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Well, you know, God rebuked me. The wrath of God finally got me, broke both my legs, and I lost my job of 20 years. But boy, he taught me a lesson. I will never, look it up, Isaiah 54, 10. I will never be wroth or angry with you, nor rebuke you, says the Lord. Boy, that's good news tonight, isn't it? My point is this, that we are healed because of what Jesus did on the cross. He goes on to say, and by his stripes, we are healed. This was not God, his anger. It was his avenue of deliverance. Yes. It was his plan of love and grace and mercy for us that deserved what he got on the cross. But he did that because he loved us, not because he was angry with us. It's a powerful thought. So that's number one. That's understanding the power of the finished work in the context of communion. When we partake of the wafer, that's what that means. It's a reminder. You know what? I don't feel the greatest today, but in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Yeah. Oh, you're one of them. Well, I guess I could say, boy, I'm dying quick. I feel lousy. Yeah, it doesn't take faith to just talk about the problem, does it?
No.
It takes faith to speak the answer. And that's what God said. Number two, here's the other way we discern the body. I want you to listen closely. The body of Christ is other believers. And we don't always discern that, do we? Well, I gave them a piece of my mind. Really? Which piece? The small one, I'm guessing. We get so irritated and agitated with people, and we come against and we defend ourselves, and we run down and all these things. And what we don't even realize is we're coming against the body of Christ. And when you come against God's children, you run up on the sword. It's not a good place to be. In James 3:16, it says, "For where there is envy and self-seeking, there's confusion in every evil thing." It says in the King James, it says, "Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work." Every evil, anything you can think of, is in the presence of envy and self-seeking or strife. So if you're addicted to drama, you need to stop that. Because all you're doing is inviting every evil that the devil's got. You're always wrapped up in drama. You're airing all your dirty laundry on Facebook. Please don't do that. The quickest way to lose respect of people that think you have a brain is to turn into a four-year-old and put everything you're thinking on Facebook. I'm trying to help you here. I really am. If you're over 12, I'm going to ask you not to do that. Let me bring the team up here real quick. Has everybody got elements? Start getting ready. You might as well start wrestling with that cellophane right now. Those of us that are over 29 know that's kind of difficult. Yeah. I don't care. You can do healer. Well, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to take the wafer first. The Bible says, after supper, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat it, and as often as you do in remembrance of me." I want to remind you that this represents everything he did for us on the cross. Our healing by his stripes, we are healed. I think it's 1 Peter 2:22 or 2 Peter 2:22 or neither of those. But it does say in Peter that by his stripes we were healed. So if we are, then we were. It's past tense. So we need to believe that tonight. So if you are battling sickness in your body, if you've got a diagnosis, remember all things are possible. So let's receive healing tonight by faith. It's not by feeling. You may not feel better today, but let's believe that when you go back to the doctor or when you wake up tomorrow or the next day. But know this, that it's just like medication. When you partake of the body, when you partake of this symbolic form of Jesus' body, and we renew our mind to that, we believe that it's at work in our body, that faith. Remember what Jesus said. He didn't say it, but the writers of the gospel said that the power of God was there to heal them all. When the woman touched his garment, the Bible says virtue went out of him. Power, that's what that word virtue means. So not everybody gets healed immediately, even though some do. But the moment you believe by faith, then the power of God is working in you to effect a change. Do not kill that with your words of unbelief and negativity and say, "Well, I didn't get anything." Stop lying to yourself and agreeing with the devil. Start calling yourself healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you tonight. We receive it by faith. We are healed in Jesus' name because of what you've done for us on the cross. We receive it in Jesus' name. You may partake. While they sing, if you're believing that tonight, stand up. Right where you are, just stand up. If you're specifically, if you're sick though, okay, I get it. Everybody stand up. If you're believing to be healed of something specific, lift your hand. Georgina, I'm with you, girl. Look at these hands. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Keep singing. Keep singing. Yes, my God. Yet. Get that out. And we know that this represents our forgiveness. And when His blood ran down that old rugged cross, it represented your forgiveness forever. He loves us that much. The Bible says that He's passed over our former sins, and He doesn't account our sins to us. Why? Because Jesus took the judgment of all of them. And if you truly get a hold of that, it doesn't make you want to live in your filth. It makes you want to rise up and be the man and woman of God He called you to be. We are a forgiven people. The world needs to know that Jesus loves them just as much. So tonight, Father, we thank You that we are forgiven. We are new creations in Christ. We are Your favorite children. We are Your sons and daughters. And so tonight we celebrate our position in You. And Lord, we ask You to let us be the mouthpiece for Your gospel into our world. We want people in our cities to know that You love them too. So we give You the praise tonight. And we are renewed to the fact that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name, you may partake.
Impossible for me. Nothing is impossible. For nothing is impossible for You. You hold my world in Your hands.
Come on, let's sing it like you believe it tonight.
For nothing.
We're gonna sing until we believe. We're gonna declare until we believe. Really, what we're singing in this place.
If you did business with Jesus in your own heart, Maybe you received Christ as your Savior. Maybe you just decided tonight, as you are partaking of communion, that you are going to be free in Jesus' name from whatever, from sickness, from sin, from addiction, to some other kind of dysfunctional thinking. Maybe you rededicated your life tonight. If that was you tonight, just lift your hand and let me see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.